got a fever. The only prescription's a flesh-eating bacteria in the middle of the woods with my goddamn friends.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to The Rest is Confetti. I'm Macy.
And Courtney.
And Keith.
And
Sam,
we have an extra special guest. We have one special guest and then an extra.
Apparently, I'm extra special.
Drowning it.
You're an extra special guest or an extra special guest.
My parents always told me I was extra special.
Because inflection matters. Actually, speaking of that, this movie is really politically incorrect, so...
Let's get that out of the gate right here.
Trigger warning, everything.
Yeah, 2002 was... Oh, we watched Cabin Fever this week,
by the way. That's the movie we chose. But
apparently, 9/11 did not get rid of homophobia.
not at all.
No.
In fact, it must have increased it a little bit for the following year.
I think everyone thought, well, we're going to die soon anyway, so why filter what I say?
Right.
Who cares? Yeah, so major trigger warning on,
and a pretty
like,
lousy setup for a racist joke, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it's not even like...
And lazy.
It's just bad. So anyway, yes, we are joined by our friend Sam today, and... Cabin Fever was his pick because, do you want to go into your nostalgia factor with this film?
It was just a movie that was recommended to me when I was about 12 years old as being super scary and super horrifying and one of the worst movies I'd, you know, come to watch.
Yeah, maybe because of the, like, 46-year-old people masquerading as high schoolers. You're like, they are all
predators. And a large amount of trauma.
Right.
They are all predators. Like, don't go with them after school.
Yeah, writer's strong. I'm disappointed in you, man.
Not cool.
Also, really alarming that that didn't bother me when I watched this upon the first time when I was younger, so...
Yeah, we kind of got a wake-up call as to, like, how much has happened in the last 20 years and what's not okay. Other than that, it was a fun watch, though.
Absolutely.
I hadn't seen this movie. Everybody else, Courtney, probably remembered it the best, maybe. Mm-hmm. It's been a while since you saw
it,
Sam.
Yeah, about 10 years at least since I've seen it.
And Keith, you were just, don't remember for various
for
reasons.
For weed-related reasons.
Approximately a minute.
Green vision. I don't know. Someone else talk.
Someone else say the words. No, this is a great one because the people are all terrible. So it's a lot like Zombievers in that veins we talked about. Like, you don't really care what's going to happen to these people. So then it's just kind of fun to see how fucked up is Eli Roth going to go with it. Also, two of the greatest cameos for a director, though. I will give a shout-out to Eli Roth
for
that.
And the crazy-ass Grim in the Woods.
With the youth pastor that they found in the woods.
Who had the biggest bag of weed.
Since, like, pineapples.
Positive bonfire.
Yes. He says, positive bonfire you got there. Like... What? That never was even a thing, even 20 years ago. Because there's stuff that you're like, Courtney and I especially, with the fashion and stuff. Oh, yeah, we remembered that, and we remembered that. No one said positive bonfire.
Positive bonfire, Mom. It's all right, though. It was worth it.
The amount of fake blood used in this movie.
Ah!
The budget for the fake blood alone had to be astronomical.
Oh, I think they spent more on the fake blood than they did on producing the movie.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Dramatic effects, like anything other than, yeah.
Oh, yeah, because Keith had the best.
Fake gore was...
Was this movie invented before scene transitions? Because every scene transition is just
bad.
Hard cut to black, gentle fade back in. Every can one of them.
And far too gentle, like, for a long time. Like, you wonder if your DVD has skipped further.
Because also, it's usually in the middle of an action, like, one of them, they're fixing a truck, and then it just cuts to something else.
And then they're just, like, in bed sleeping.
Did they finish fixing the truck?
Need to know these things.
So
plot
many
holes.
Questions.
What were your thoughts when you first saw this movie, Sam? This was your pick. Were you scared?
No, I was 12 years old, so I was probably really into the sex scenes, first off. And then second off, I probably didn't like the fact that the dog ate somebody multiple times.
Yeah,
that's rough. The beginning gore that you see is a dog that's just like split in half. Mm. It's a great experience for the first 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But no, other than that, it was a good movie when I was 12, 13 years old, and my mother was super strict and didn't let me watch any movies.
I feel like this is a great kind of first grown-up horror movie. Was this rated? I'm assuming this was rated
R.
I didn't check. Because
the offensive language.
Yeah, the language alone.
The tits, the fuck.
Because you can only drop the F-bomb one time in PG-13.
Oh, that's right. I have been surprised when looking into rating systems how much PG-13 can get away with sometimes.
Yes.
That I'm never 100%, but yeah.
Language will get you there pretty quickly.
Accessing the common sense part of my brain says, yes, this is an R-rated movie. But it's like bad, like really intense and blood and stuff, but there's almost like so much violence that it crosses that line where it's like, oh, so much violence to just kind of funny because it's so over the top.
Like some beavers.
And then even the sex scenes were like, you did see some tits and some butt crack, but it wasn't all that graphic.
It wasn't
didn't look good. So
yeah, when she mounts Ryder Strug, her form was very questionable.
Like, bounce, bounce, bounce.
Like, she was pushing his arms away, too.
The scene before that with one of them, you said, it doesn't even look like they like each other.
Oh, yeah, the blonde guy, Jeff.
Yeah, the lawyer and the girl.
They just hate. They're just hate fucking.
I don't know.
Like, whatever.
Like each other.
Yeah,
but all that to say,
people in the woods.
I think it's a great. I'm not supposed. I'm old enough to where I could watch an adult horror movie. I'm not supposed to, but it's like my first.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That would be a good one. I agree.
I can't think of the word, so I'm just gonna stop talking.
It's kind of like Sleepy Hollow in that way. Yeah, where it's like.
Yeah, it's like I shouldn't be watching this, but it's also not gonna like completely fuck me up as a human being to watch this.
I feel
movie.
Like Hostel would mess you up a lot more.
Yeah, there's stuff out there. Or like Hereditary. If you watched that when you were 12 years old, it's like, wow, I will never be the same.
Absolutely.
That's the difference between our generation and the generation now is they watch Hereditary at 13, 14 years old.
And they're fine.
Yeah, we're like, we're in 2020,
they're
man.
Like whatever.
Is
it's not even the worst thing I've seen today.
I go to
our generation
school.
Gets traumatized every day.
Yeah. Oh, that's such a sad thought.
That's life.
That's life, man. It's like I told my son, there are no happy endings. It just gets worse from here.
If you want a happy ending, it depends on where you end the story.
Isn't it that massage parlor across from Grossburger for happy endings? You know what it's called?
You know the place.
You know, I mean, it's like,
I don't know, Macy.
They're like, we...
Is it?
Well.
I don't know that place at all.
No, there's a place across from Grossburger. Oh no, they're gonna find me and kill me.
Oh, are you talking about like the Jojen's spot?
Yes! Jojen's! And they're like, we tan. And it's like, oh, right, you tan.
I see, they can't see your air quotes.
No.
But they can hear them.
What if you do it close?
Oh, I'm so disappointed. Aww.
Well, anyway, shout out to Jojen Spa. We just don't know about you.
Jojen Spa and Grill. So anyway.
I will compliment the acting in this movie. Overall.
Oh, yeah, actually, yeah.
Overall, I would say most of them did fine. I thought the sheriff guy was a little weird.
Yeah.
But I even believed Winston for as weird as he was. I was like,
this dude looks just fucking weird.
Is who he is. But because that's usually a big problem I have with horror movies. They're usually kind of subpar acted. I did believe most of these people were this bad at everything.
Oh, yeah. It was believable.
Yeah, I don't know. The cameo by the Boy Meets World dude was a little bit rapey. But other than that...
Yeah, that was... Yeah, guys, if, like, she's not opening her eyes and has given no indication that she's woken up, she's probably lucid dreaming right now, and that is not consent.
And you're manipulating.
And that's not okay.
Ryder consensually, how about that?
No woman has ever woken up and been like, oh, hello there. I'm definitely turned on now that you're... Right there.
I do kind of love
but he does get his
karma that he gets, where it's like, oh, we're falling apart in my hand.
Comeuppance.
Comeuppance.
Comeuppance. You got
it. Clopins and comeuppance.
Clopins and comeuppance.
Anyways.
Yeah, everybody's acting was really good. Eli Roth, I think, was the worst actor.
But I think
that's because he's a director.
That was his intention, though. Like, he was just like, I'm just going to be this fucking guy who shows up with a soul patch down to my chest.
Yeah. And it went up really high. It was like, it was.
It's definitely one of the best, like, directorial cameos.
Oh, yeah. Just made me laugh.
Is that going to be your next look?
No, absolutely not. I've never had a...
That's the
2020
look.
For a second. It wasn't nearly that long.
I like that. I hope
That'd
not.
That'd be disgusting.
It was everybody's favorite.
Honestly? The lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
I relate to him.
Like, no, he's like, I don't want to die. I know how this shit works.
Fuck you guys.
Right.
Because, no, really, it's the point where he looks at them and goes, they're just touching this girl like an idiot.
Yeah, but that's
and
not,
then he pieces out.
But overall, the point isn't the touching or, like, the even coming in contact with the blood. Well, I mean, a couple of them get infected because of the contact with the blood, but the original Karen, whatever, gets infected from the water. And then everybody after that drinks the water.
Yeah, comes in contact.
So he only survives because he's drinking beer and
right.
being an idiot and isolating because he's a germaphobe and thinks that, you know.
And then it comes together.
But there's
anyway.
No, the only proof.
Why does he come
actually,
back?
The only proof that someone gets infected by blood is the initial infection from the dog.
Huh?
That I can
that's
think of.
That's true.
Think of
well, and that got in his mouth. So maybe you have to ingest it.
Yeah, but think. Does somebody else get infected?
We never see the kid again.
Mm. Well, true.
But that got in his mouth because he bit.
Right. No, I definitely think
but
the blood just hitting you isn't going to do anything. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
But, like, I mean, there was a lot of blood coming off that girl. It could have sprayed in their mouth.
Also,
well,
can we talk about their containment? Like, we're just going to
yes.
we're just gonna shoot the first guy that we see on site and then burn the bodies. And a fucking county sheriff team is the best containment unit that we have to...
I do not know why they were not assigned to COVID.
Oh,
it would have been dealt with.
Right. We would have been over. With, oh, he's not wearing a mask.
He's out.
Fucking burn him.
They've just got a pyre of bodies
you're
in front of him.
101 fever, you're done.
You're done.
Just they pull out one of
your
those guns at the
lens.
Check his fucking fever. What's his fever, Tommy? Is it over 102? Is it 103? He's done. He's
done.
Get him the fuck
out
of here. Oh, it's under
with
102. Put him into the cooler with the others.
Do they use the hammer? They just pull the ball peen hammer out and bang.
No, usually
ball
they break their kneecaps first and then they choke them to death.
Breaking.
Oh, man.
Goals.
It's a lot easier.
So Sam is going to be in charge of COVID containment.
Yep.
Watch your kneecaps.
Watch
the story scene around the campfire. That was pretty good.
I think that was probably the best part about the movie.
Yeah, I will say.
It felt
like,
the most real.
It did.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, definitely.
Because
we've all done that.
You were kind of drawn in. It was freaky, and he
yeah.
told it really well. Yeah, that
yeah.
was a fun scene.
That was fun.
And the bald Eli Roth cameo, so, you
yeah.
know.
I thought the ball peen hammer, like, the heads being bashed in. Like, I mean, it was... Eh, it was kind of one of those, like, weak attempts to show... that somebody's head was bashed in with a hammer, but
mm-hmm.
it was believable.
It was
it
like a good flash to where it, you know.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. then it was, like, because the story stayed pretty believable for a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, they drug
well.
That scene out.
Yeah. What's that dude's, Ryder Strong, what?
I can't remember.
It was Paul
name.
Or something.
Paul?
Everybody's
yeah.
names are guy. From, like, the 1960s.
Paul, Karen, Bert. No, it was the lawyer's name. Jeff.
Which
Jeff,
you know,
Jeff.
Could be.
Jeff, Karen, Bert.
This is like my parents'
Paul.
High school reunion.
Paul.
This
what
isn't like
girl?
We're in high school in 2000.
What's the other girl's name?
I can't remember.
Diane or something, was it?
Oh, it was Marcy.
Marcy.
Yeah.
That's right.
No.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Least favorite scene?
My least favorite scene.
Like
probably
most
the weird rapey scene was my least favorite. And
yeah.
not necessarily because of the rapiness of it. It was just like... I don't know.
All
like,
around.
I was embarrassed for him, and, like, it was just super weird and uncomfortable, and I don't know. That was, I think that was my least favorite.
Now, like, scariest scene or least favorite scene?
Or, like, most upsetting.
Because the leg and either. Razor one.
Both of
the
them.
Leg, like, the shaving one's pretty brutal.
Yeah, that's for me. That's what I'm going to go with. The shaving of the leg and the blood and the ew. Yeah, that one. As a girl, I just, like, crumble up into
a ball.
Well,
and the sound design with it. The
squelching.
For sure. Yes. Squelching.
The special effects and the sound design were both really, really good with the, like, just married together. Was there any CGI? What?
In every good
laugh at me.
No. In every good practical effects movie, there's one bad practical effect. The deer hitting the ground.
Oh my gosh.
Because the deer in the window actually looked really good, but the deer hit the ground. I was like, that's a dummy deer.
Like, they literally went to
the
build
German
a bear
Shepherd in the
for
beginning.
This movie.
It was definitely, like, and I appreciate that, because I don't like when they look too real, but no, it was definitely, like, a super fake German Shepherd, where I was like, I had a toy like that before, they just split it open.
Do you think Eli Roth uses his childhood toys in his movies?
I could see him doing something like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
He's the bear
Dr. Mambo.
Dr.
Mambo. Do you think that was his actual dog? Do you think he would respond? Eli Roth, is that your actual dog?
Dr. Mambo,
please
I hope
us.
So.
Is it like Monos?
He's right back. Is Dr. Mambo your actual German Shepherd?
You should be like a nighttime DJ. You should be like, hey, I'm Sam.
Good evening.
You're turning in.
You're listening to 101 The Mix Hits Smooth Jazz.
Bong.
That does seem like the kind of dog Eli Roth would have, though, is a German Shepherd. He seems absolutely. Like that, yeah.
No, the German Shepherd would also have a soul patch.
Yes, I hope so. It has to now.
Yes. And the hair.
The weird kind of spiky hair.
So anyway, yeah, my least favorite scene was the rapey scene. The grossest one would have been the shaving, I think, as well. Jancer grossest Fully one.
Mm-hmm. I think when he's first, like, I don't know, because when I first saw it, other than the German Shepherd being opened up, like...
Yeah, that was, like, the thing.
That's
like
what I was going to say.
Like one of those fucking waffle irons.
Yes. Amazing, go on.
was when he's first spurting blood in the blazer when he's trying to... That shit, it's just so graphic.
The whole hermit, everything involving the hermit was...
Yeah, was the grossest one.
Yeah.
It's like an
unfortunately.
With the hermit.
That's why I kind of got a vibe with Bert. I mean, his initial reaction, I gotta shoot this motherfucker.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, Bert actually tries so hard to do the right thing. Like, he realizes...
I kind of feel like, you know, like in Rick and Walking Dead, like, I don't think, you know, if he hadn't gotten shot... Like, he might have been the first person to kill, like, Patient Zero. You know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, he might have seen that and been like, no, we can't do this
anymore. It's not worth it, guys.
I share with you, man.
Shane's gonna end up fucking my wife. I can't do this.
Lori was a bitch.
Let me ask you something.
She's a bitch in real life, too.
She is.
No shade, John Byrne, though. You're an amazing
Everyone
Punisher.
Else in that cast is delight. But, yeah, she is
he
not.
He is the Punisher. Right. He doesn't play the Punisher. Lori. He is the Punisher. Way more than
is
Thomas Jane.
Is that who,
I love Thomas Jane's
Punisher. I love him, but
not
as the
Punisher.
Good,
oh, man, the scene with the wrestler. Wow, we're on a completely...
Oh, this is what we do.
Yeah.
It's fine.
We have to talk about
We have Macy's personal vendetta
wrestler,
of the day.
What wrestler is that? Do we know? When he fucking hits the gun with the hammer. He looks at the gun and it's got a bend in the barrel. In the Punisher, he's fighting the big Russian dude that they send
to
kill him.
Yeah, because it's the huge Russian dude. I don't remember who it is, though.
He had just put the gun underneath his sink, so he hits the wall and comes out of the
wall. Oh my god, because that's John Travolta.
Is
the bad
guy in that
movie.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because he's the weird bad guy. It's one of my favorite John Travolta roles.
How's his wig? I'm obsessed with his wigs.
Oh, it's amazing. It's big.
Oh, guys.
Have you seen Face Off?
I have never seen Face Off.
Hi, Luna. We have another guest.
The loon.
The loon.
Wheel me away. He was holding her up like Simba and carrying her to the couch.
She is.
So.
Out to the water twice.
This one will be a lot of just, like, kind of hanging out because this is a pretty straightforward slasher film.
Yeah. Bunch of idiots. Die.
Was there anything other than the high school students, quote unquote, since we will cast you?
It's like Grease, man. Right. These are 40-year-olds.
Like, Was there anything else that you guys...
Are we sure they're supposed to be high schoolers? Because, like...
I mean, they're hiding cigarettes. So they're like, hey, man, look what I smoked on our trip.
Oh, no, he was talking... Because in the first part, she's like, you got any smokes? And he's like, no, I don't have any smokes.
Oh, like he didn't want to share them?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that he was like...
They're drinking beer. They bought beer.
I don't know.
They're college students.
Oh. Even if they're college students, quote unquote, they're still in their late 40s.
They're finishing their residency.
But I guess that's a little better than if they were trying to be high school students. Right.
Not quite Grease, but...
Regardless, they're older than they're supposed to be in the movie.
Yeah, Ryder Strong looks as old as time for some reason.
Yeah. And do you notice when he got covered with the blood, his head looked really bulbous?
It did.
Yeah, that was kind of uncomfortable.
He looked like a radish.
And can we take a minute to talk about Winston?
Right. Winston! Is he 12? Is he 32?
With his little mustache.
First of all, Winston and I share the same last name.
Pencil mustache.
Which is pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. Second, that is one of the funniest acted characters I've ever seen in my life. I want to meet that dude.
Party
like,
man.
Party man.
It reminds me of
gonna party all night, man.
Don't worry,
a
scary
movie. It's like more well-read Doofy.
Yes.
And he's like at the
same
party
mustache.
Drinking.
Yeah.
In his squad car and uniform and badge.
Yeah, those girls are clearly
from the bike.
Like,
which is so funny because he said
weird.
He goes to those parties because they don't know he's a cop. He showed up dressed like a cop.
And where did he get the squad car? Because he was on a bike earlier.
Yeah.
Right.
He was on a
bike.
Yeah,
that was kind of...
All that set up to have him ride away on a bike. What a fantastic scene.
That's amazing.
The scene was probably, my favorite scene was probably when he's just talking to him next to the
blood
covered blazer with blood all over the interior. Barely bats an eye.
This is every day.
And what was the story he gave him? That they just, like, got someone wrecked the car or something? Or did he tell him the truth?
And he kind of told him the truth that, like, he was there, like, somebody was sick and came and attacked them.
I don't know if he let in that he lit him on fire.
Yeah.
He might.
That was the detail they spared. But they did. They were like, some dude ran up and then we hit the car.
I might.
I wouldn't admit to lighting him on fire. Everything up to that point is probably fine. But you lit the dude on fire.
Oh, also with the dude on fire, there's, like... Because of the weird scene changes, there's a pretty good pause, and then someone's dreaming about him running around on fire, and I thought they looked out.
He was still running, like, 10 minutes later.
I thought they looked
around.
Out the window.
Once again, weird scene changes.
Weird scene transition.
It was...
They just saw him running around the cabin on fire, and they just went back to sleep. And I was like, no.
Man, what is he made of?
I want to credit Eli Roth. I want to credit Eli Roth for a dead end scene that was really crazy to think about. There's the scene when Bert is running around in the woods and he coughs and the blood like lands on the little beetle.
Yeah.
What if the beetle is now an infected little
thing? That is a very interesting.
And we never
like,
it just dead ends that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Right, like that could have just been grass. Just
yeah, but why did you?
Why did it land on a beetle?
But why take the time to like put a beetle into the frame?
Right,
for real. Like, what are you trying to like? What kind of Easter eggs are you leaving in this movie?
Right, because I mean, we obviously see the little kids giving out lemonade in this little community. But what if that beetle is like a mama beetle?
The beetle should have flown up somebody's nose or something, and gotten into their brain.
It would have been interesting.
Or like on the mummy when the scarab goes under the skin.
Cabin fever too. Oh, God, could you imagine cabin fever with insects?
No.
This is, like, a fun, like, early 2000s slasher, but with insects, it would be straight nightmare fuel.
No.
There's got to be, like, an
I would die.
Definition of cabin fever.
Especially if there's centipedes.
Do you guys...
Isn't that what the Donner Party got?
The
scarabs
in the mummy.
Yes.
It's listed as irritability, listlessness, and similar symptoms resulting from long confinement or isolation indoors during the winter.
That's me every day.
During the winter, though. This movie is not in the winter.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard to pin down what time, because one of them is wearing a sweater, and all of the girls are dressed
like, all the leaves are on the ground, but it's also, like, a weird transition.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, not before fall, but it is.
Also, they never took anyone's temperature, so there's no fevers as far
as we
know.
Or it could almost be, like, right before spring, before, like, trees start budding.
True. Mm-hmm.
Also, we will own that it is hard to watch a virus... virus-based movie post-pandemic because how have these bitches not heard of social distancing?
It's only
6 feet in masks.
It's only slightly traumatizing.
Right.
Yeah. We're all having, like, PTSD triggers from it. We're, like, twitching a little bit.
Oh, why would you do that? Wash your hands.
Wash your hands!
Yeah, like, they're just touching...
Cover your mouth when you cough.
Well, like the lawyer dude said, like, you're touching her. It's not even necessarily so much, like, touching a little... Like, they're just... It's all over their arms.
Yeah,
and,
they're
like,
playing
they're
it pretty fast
faces,
and loose.
And... No, the lawyer dude's just holding the cloth up to his face. His hairline was
awful.
Intense.
about the best part about the rapey dude.
That's such a weird phrase.
I'm still on that guy. I just don't remember that part about the movie. It's kind of upsetting.
Right?
Is his insistence on wearing condoms, and then his ass pouring Listerine on his junk.
That was
hilarious. They never went into, like, what his thing
with that
is.
Yeah, but he was like, safe sex. And then, oh, you don't wear condoms? And then, you know.
She's like, I'm healthy. He's like, oh. Yeah. That's...
Also, how they both hadn't accepted by that point that they were going to die of this
also,
thing.
Also, can anyone actually confirm that Listerine does, in fact, clean after sex?
I don't think it does.
I mean, there's alcohol in it.
Also, did they bring that Listerine? Was it... That looked like a fucking old bottle of Listerine.
Yeah,
like
it was yellow.
At first, I thought he was just, like, pissing in the Listerine bottle. Like, he wasn't... That's why he's just not going to use
less
the toilet.
Weird.
Right? I've made some bad choices in my
life.
I would not pour Listerine.
So offended if I had sex with someone and they went and poured Listerine on their junk.
Right?
Like, I've done that.
I feel like almost every dude.
It's okay.
That's it.
You've never used Icy Hot?
I don't think so.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah, that's totally fine.
I feel like I'm like admitting, I've never had alcohol before. I've never used Icy Hot.
I used it a lot when I swam. That's when I, like, because I was always sore. I always felt like total crap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. You'd just buy the huge tubes of it and go through like 3 or 4 a week.
Damn. That's a lot of Icy Hot. So,
damn.
Anyway,
that's
my cabin fever was.
Did anything subvert anyone's expectations, or did everything go exactly as they thought?
No, I was surprised. Like I said, I did not realize how problematic this movie definitely
yes.
is.
Yeah.
And it will be hard for me to return to again for several reasons. But it's really fun when it's just them in the gore and stuff, so...
Yeah, I think in recommending this to someone, I would maybe, like, tell them, like, there's some really early 2000s politically incorrect stuff, so be aware of that.
Yes.
And if you can, like, get through that stuff, it's a fun time sort of thing.
Because also, I wish I could say, like, some movies, it's like, it just sucks that there's, like, one scene, but you can be like, okay, well, I'll just skip that from now. It's littered, like, every 10 to 15 minutes in this movie,
it's
one
consistent.
Thing or another. So, yeah, just be ready for that.
Insults and stuff.
That
and
definitely threw me, though, because all I remembered was the gore, basically.
Yeah,
and
right.
I mean,
that's definitely what stands out.
Rightly
this movie
so,
still.
But now I'm like, oh, also racism and homophobia.
And then whatever, I mean, they use the R word. I don't know what phobia that would be, but like, obviously not okay. So,
yeah,
there's that stuff. Unfortunately, 20 years ago, I guess that was the case because no one talks about it.
Right.
Like, no one's like, oh, cabin fever. Like, they say this stuff. You guys had all seen it.
I didn't remember that at all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is like probably a good thing, but yeah.
Definitely a thing, though.
I mean, honestly, the first scene kind of threw me off to where I didn't actually know what was happening.
Yeah.
So when, at the end, which if you haven't seen it, the end spoiler is a little bit, it doesn't even slightly make it okay.
It's a lazy setup for a racist joke.
I guess it's a comical relief.
Exactly. It's a lazy setup for a racist joke.
It's a lazy, comical, politically incorrect relief. Anyways, but it threw me off in the beginning to where I didn't, like, know what was happening. And then at the end when he pulls the gun off the wall and... then I'm like, oh, that's what he was. They were asking what the gun was about. That's what it was.
Yeah, it was yeah. for.
I didn't know. I just heard the word. You know, I just heard it. And I'm like, what the fuck?
There's a pause of
45 seconds, and you miss a whole scene, and you're like, oh,
what?
Okay, now I'm watching.
That's
movie
why
again.
It is. I blacked out when I watched this movie. Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, still not okay, but
a little
I mean,
bit of a swing and a miss for
I
me,
guess
Lara. There.
Yeah, definitely.
Less bad than if it had been to shoot them.
Absolutely.
It's all just, yeah.
Like I said, the more confusing thing is that they switch it up. Like, I feel like either go with the hard R or don't go with the hard R.
Mm-hmm.
But
then it's implying they're interchangeable. Or,
right? And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know enough to talk on it excessively, but that just felt weird and just weird.
It was. But I will say, once, like, the movie really started getting going with everyone being sick and, like, getting infected, there wasn't as much of that. It was more in the slow dialogue in the first part that happened. So, yeah.
So, let's talk about Bert's aim for a second.
Yes.
Bert hits this motherfucker while he's at a dead sprint through the woods.
So,
and then never hits him again.
I like to think I'm a slightly above amateur shot. Hitting a moving target is, like, next to impossible. Unless you've done it quite a few times, and it's barely easy with a shotgun, and that's at a target that's flying 20 feet in your head, you know. But this guy is running in a crevice. He hits him dead shoulder, square, from the hip. He's not even aiming down the sights.
And he's drunk and or high.
But both. 15 minutes later in the movie, he's trying to hit this guy, and he shoots the truck.
Twice, or like three times.
Shoots the truck twice.
It was
shoots
that entire
air.
Bag of
shoots
weed.
Straight up in the air at one point.
The all the
like,
bag
I think
of
his
weed.
Thought was that he was going to scare this guy off. What does this dude have left to be afraid of? His skin is falling off of his face. He is puking blood.
He's asking for help. He's puking
asking
all over
to
the
be
blazer.
Shot. Bert even fucked up for him. He's like, just shoot me. And Bert's like, no, I'm going to shoot into the sky. Like, no. Yeah, that was weird, because it was also wasn't really implied that it was just the gun happened to go off and shoot him. Like, no, he was trying to shoot the guy, and he did a good job,
yeah.
And then earlier he couldn't. Where it was like, oh, fluke shot, I'm really not a good shot. Also, why did he have a gun? Did he just find that in the cabin?
It seemed to be that way.
And he said it's a BB gun, and it's straight up like, yeah. Definitely like a T2.
But then they never address it where someone's like, you're a liar. He's like, I thought it was a BB gun. Like, he just says it is, and then it's a shotgun, and
that's what we
that's
call
it.
It's like the boat that they pull out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Device.
It just shows up. And the boat, which also is featured for a second, then goes away. We don't see her,
and
then she just comes back for
and she just walks back. She's not walking. She's like, I'm going to go get help. Because then she's like, where are you going? The road's that way, like, and you're just walking up this hill.
And how does everyone that leave this cabin just keep hitting up back at it? Because the same thing happened to Jeff.
Yeah.
Because think about it, he left.
Is this
why
like
did he
a magical universe? Because, yeah, she suddenly then is on a canoe alone in her big Bratz doll wedge heels.
Yes.
And her low-rise Levi's.
Not what I would
know. Low-rise Levi.
So glad the low-rise. Please never come back in stuff. I will not wear you. But
I will not wear you.
She's just in a canoe. And then gets on shore and walks back to the cabin?
I guess.
Is that what happened?
Which is weird that she rode somewhere and then didn't row back. As I'm assuming the only reason you would row is if it saved you time.
I'm assuming her rowing back happened in one of the god-awful scene transitions.
That's true. Got lost.
Imagine what this movie would be like if we knew what happened to this. Did they finish
fixing
the truck?
That was actually a big, like, plot point that they just left on the cutting room floor. Because they were all super baked and trying to edit this movie, and
or, like, Eli Roth, I get that, like, gore is the most important thing, and that's cool, but there needs to be some other elements, at least, like, half trying sometimes. I have similar notes on this movie that I do to Hemlock Grove. With the exception of it's way more politically correct.
It's just about a disease out in the middle of the woods, and rural county in a Midwest state that's being contained by a
local police force.
By a local police force.
Sounds like
flawlessly almost. Until the little kids fucked it up with the lemonade.
Excellent.
Man.
Oh my god.
The fucking lemonade in the bottling factory. That was one of my favorite parts. It's like Officer Doofy decided, you know what, I'm gonna take care of this guy, but I'm gonna take care of him right next to the creek.
Yes!
So he has a chance to bleed into the local water source.
Well, we've got that beetle out there somewhere too. It's like everyone's fucked.
Right.
Is the moral.
Instead of doing what my CDC instead of doing what my CDC recommended boss did and burn all the fucking bodies.
Right, because someone
understood.
I'm just
going to shoot him next to the creek.
He had a party to get to, man.
Yeah,
he didn't have time.
Party man.
Also, what did he even hit him with? Did you notice that? It looked like an axe handle that, like, an axe had come off of. Like, the blade. He's like, Winston, oh yeah, you know, Winston, I got you. And then he smacks the shit out of him.
Was it like a... Was it a ball peen hammer?
No, it was just like
that
a
would have been.
Ryder Strong
handle,
did seem to start
like
to enjoy the murder, he was doing. Particularly the guy that fell and he stabbed with the stick. I was like, dude, you just picked up a stick and stabbed this dude.
That takes some force.
You're enjoying yourself a little too much.
Yeah, it's safe to say he is not a good guy. Yeah. I'm not rooting for him at all.
No.
Yeah, he was like kind of painted as, like, kind of the sweet guy at first.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't really rooting for anyone in this movie.
Favorite death?
Ooh, favorite death.
Mine's definitely Bert's.
Bert's?
Yeah. I mean,
when he's, like,
out,
sitting
like,
there.
Savage, you know.
But he's, like, trying... He fails. But he's trying to help his buddy out.
I don't think he failed.
Oh, he didn't shoot.
I think
it
was just a
guys,
distraction. Like, he knew he was going to
die. I know we didn't see him die, but I really liked Eli Roth in the cave.
That was probably
my favorite gore, because I'm like, oh, he is tore up.
Yeah,
because
that's the thing. We didn't see what happened to him, which made that all worse.
Like, there's an animal out there that has it.
Yeah.
It's not the dog.
Right.
I know, because that's it. Like, I think that's the reason behind, like, the dead end bug scene. Like, this is eventually just going to, like, wipe out, like, half the planet.
No, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Sam read the definition of cabin fever, and it's irritability in isolation in the winter. So, rewrite cabin fever according to that, and go. Quick synopsis.
It's basically sad.
Prometheus style.
Seasonal affective disorder.
Really bad.
Single guy living in a town of 2,200, working at a factory 30 minutes away. Only gets minimum wage at the factory before taxes. Barely owns his house.
Oh my god.
Has leaky windows. So his electricity bill is very high.
This poor man
drinks a lot of whiskey.
That's fine in this town.
Yeah,
that won't kill you.
Drink the whiskey. Don't drink the water, though.
I think I would have had less instant, like, skin melting and more, like, people just kind of being, like, not themselves gradually, like, really angry and maybe, like, a little violent against each other. A little more like what you would think cabin... Like, I understand what they're saying. They're sick and they're at a cabin, so cabin fever.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it would have been
softball
cool.
Softball title.
I think it was...
Or, like, if they started self-mutilating, like, and that was what it was instead of, like, flushing bacteria.
Because it did seem interesting that despite the fact that their skin was falling off, none of them seemed to really be in pain.
Right.
Yeah, because even when she's shaving her legs, she looks, like, sad about it.
And
I'm like, you would be like,
like in Black Swan when she, like, pulls the thing up.
Unless, you know, in theory, like, the flesh-eating bacteria attacks nerve endings.
Yeah, so they can't. Which it would, because it's rotting everything there, right?
One thing I would like to compliment, this movie did not fall prey to what a lot of, like, plague movies and, like, zombie movies fall prey to, which is, so the first girl that got it, it took a really long time for her to go, like, full melty face, as we'll call it. a lot of times in these kind of movies, each person after, they really speed up, like, how quickly they, like, fall apart.
Or else the movie would be 10 hours long.
Right, they really
It took Bert a while.
Yeah, they really did keep it.
After he was like, oh, you just lost the bet.
Because it also really did seem, based on how much water, like, body mass, everything, like, I felt that was pretty well represented, as opposed to, like, the first person takes 3 days and the third person takes 1 minute.
Mm-hmm. It also did, was a good job of, like, the first place... The people who drank the water got it was, like, around their mouth and their crotch because, like, drinking the water and then peeing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was good.
Yeah, scientifically.
That showed some thought into that.
Yeah, I thought that was probably the most fucked up scene.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Say them in.
Just, like, talk about one of the most, like, scarring experiences.
Yeah, if you made it out, you would never have sex
like, even,
again.
Even if, okay, like, in theory, say he wasn't being all weird and essentially rapey.
She was awake at the time.
Yeah, say like, it was consensual.
Mm-hmm.
Super scarring.
Super scarring.
Super scarring. Never, ever gonna try anything. Oh,
no.
Man. Gonna be seared into the back of your mind.
That's in there.
Bad.
I don't think you'd want to make it out after that. I think about halfway through, like...
You're cutting off your fucking hand. What do you mean?
Yeah. The old school, like, I always thought, like, if I was going to cut off, a hand, just to make it really crazy.
What if you did?
No, because this was in a movie the other day.
He starts this off,
you know, like,
he's actually thought about this multiple times.
Like, the art room paper cutters? Aren't those, like, one of the most terrifying things
perfect
in the world?
Except...
Not my own hand, someone else's.
Except that's, like... I don't think it has enough weight, and I think because, like,
It would, like chip away, but it wouldn't, like, snap.
That's why I said it was terrifying.
I know it snapped through fingers.
Ow! That's a lot smaller diameter.
You were too close to the toy.
But if someone, like, if I jumped up on the table and, like, put my whole weight behind it,
I was thinking,
like,
one of those pizza cutters.
Oh, yeah. When I was a kid, I read Tale of Two Cities, like, way too young.
Mm-hmm.
And I had, like, nightmares of guillotines for, like, years because I was so freaked out.
It's like what Sarah Silverman says you do to the butthole finger.
Cool. What? Excuse me?
This is when you're cuddling after sex. Where do you put the butthole finger? Do you just, like, lay it off to the side? Dude, because you can't, like, get up and wash your hands because it ruins the snuggling. So what do you do with the butthole finger? Do you just cut it off?
I love Sarah's little
put it in their mouth.
So
art house paper cutter.
Art house paper cutter. He stands by it.
Well, art house paper cutter.
You bring your Tinder date home and they're like, why do you have a paper cutter by your bed? Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
It's foreshadowing.
You have wet naps next to
your
bed.
Oh my gosh, I want to use that in real life where something happens and I look at someone and I'm like, foreshadowing.
It's way easier in movies because the plots are usually pretty predictable. Life is genuinely more exciting. Or at least shocking. Real life is terrifying right now. We're living this movie.
This is why we're having trouble talking about it. It's like, no, 2020 is scarier. Like,
yeah, no,
things were so easy in 2002.
At least the leader in this movie of the town was far more competent than the leader of our country. So,
true.
Like, they're in better shape than
we are. Absolutely.
They are on the offense.
No, because also that one, like, the sheriff cop on the radio was like, just shoot him on sight if you see him. Just
right.
don't even give him a
chance.
Yeah, Winston fucked up there. And then,
I mean there and everywhere.
The guy getting the harmonica into his throat.
Yes, oh my gosh, we didn't talk about that part.
The harmonica in the throat.
One of the... probably just like the epitome of an awkward 90s teen get together.
Yeah.
with the local town cop that's dirty as shit. You know, he pulls over all the 40 and 50 year olds that are driving around drunk, but he lets some of the kids get by if they invite him over to hang out.
Right.
He never had friends.
Yeah.
He just got accepted into the academy because the sheriff felt sorry for him and.
Winston peaked in high school.
Didn't want him to go on a killing spree at a theater.
Right, because that's it. I'm like, this guy's not actually qualified.
No, they gave
him
a
first
bike.
See him, he's riding a bike.
He's like the hall monitor of the local police force.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But he had a fucking revolver. Like, it's actually a fucking cap gun.
Because also,
gun.
If you wreck and you have that on your side, even if it doesn't go off, could you imagine landing on a revolver?
Oh, dude. Ow. Guns are so... Anybody that hasn't, like, ever shot a gun or, like, held a gun doesn't understand this, but guns are so, like, just...
Solid and heavy.
Solid, dude.
It is like landing on an actual rock.
I understand what kickback is.
Movies and, like, shows and video games,
they're like plastic in there.
It just makes it seem like guns are just weightless. It's like, they're just
these... People carry two shotguns.
No, M4s are heavy.
And aiming and hitting everything.
I don't know.
Arms
don't quote
straight
me, but
ahead,
I think M4s are like
which would actually not be good at all.
They're fucking solid.
Right. No, like, yeah, if you wrecked and landed on that, even if you didn't shoot yourself, that's gonna hurt so bad.
By the way, we're talking about the deputy riding around the
Winston.
Forest.
In a bike.
On his fucking Huffy.
Yeah, I was like, that wasn't even a good bike.
With his cap gun.
Oh, Winston, we hardly knew ye.
Oh, Winston.
I want either prequel or sequel with Winston.
Yes.
I don't know if Winston's in it, but there's definitely a sequel. There's Cabin Fever 2, and I think there's Cabin Fever Patient Zero.
Yes. Okay. Ooh, is that about the hermit? Is he Patient Zero?
I don't know. I thought the dog was Patient Zero.
Impression was that this has been going on for a long time. And
brewing.
Like, sharing and stuff, or just, like, keeping it quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because also, but I mean, if it's in the water, I mean, like, the human body can deal with shit for a long time. So it would have taken a long time to, like, build up to a level that, like, would actually start to affect people.
Right.
But then once it really starts to, man.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Bert just had a sip.
True.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have just gotten to toxic levels. Or maybe it's just the well for that fucking cabin.
Yeah, maybe they just picked the wrong.
And now there's the dead body in the river.
Well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but then how'd the dog get it?
Yeah, but because when he finds no. I don't know, well... Because he's in the reservoir. The
Your
guy
mom's
that...
in the reservoir.
Both of them?
Both of them?
Shout out to Tyler.
The hermit's in the reservoir, and when he finds the, you know, the... I don't know where I was going with this at this point.
It's okay. We've done that before.
How did it really get started? Because, like, if it is water in the town,
oh, no.
People in the town should have got it.
How did it really get started? Oh,
it's a good trick.
I don't know, but the hogs had it, too.
That's right. So it is in the water. Maybe it's just not affecting... But then why did it affect them so much?
Or maybe
it might not have been in the water until still after the pig had fallen into it.
And the pigs got it from something else. Because there was obviously something that ate Eli Roth's character, so... There's like, it's like spreading on its own.
Right, this could
woods.
Just be animals in the woods, too.
And it was almost like hinting that it was the hermit's dog that was roaming around.
Mm, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the deer, yeah. Do you think the deer had it?
No, I think that poor deer just got hit by a car.
Okay, because I was like, maybe
I think that was just like
kill.
One of those,
pink
like, cast. One of those moments in a movie where you're at like the final part where the last character is trying to get away and then he just hits a step down again
mm-hmm.
and just wrecks the
like
car
that
he's
thing.
Trying to get away.
Yeah. Well, he got it from the water. I was going to say, do you think he got it from the water? But because he got everybody's blood in his face.
Oh,
too, but
okay. Probable hypothesis.
Yes. Continue.
The reason that the hermit would have gotten it and not the people in the town, realistically, the people in the town would be drinking some form of filtered water to mm-hmm. some degree. And I mean, like, most, like, viruses in the water would be killed by, like, a normal filtration system.
Mm-hmm.
The hermit's probably just drinking out of a creek.
Oh, that's true. So maybe it's...
So maybe it is already in the water. It's just being filtered out through, like,
and the whole thing
and
with the lemonade at the end was that they went straight to the creek to fill the thing up.
So what's the point of the whole scene of him discovering him in the reservoir? Because, like, there was the scene where the camera followed the pipe.
Right, right, and showed him.
All the way to the reservoir.
I think that was Eli Roth just making
maybe
sure
just showing the
it.
Dead body, making sure we know this guy's dead. Because
gore.
If it was coming through the water, I mean, if it was coming through the water in the cabin, that water in the cabin is coming from that river.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to be coming from either there or somewhere in the ground connected to the well. And also, just to be this person, it is a river. Even if there's a dead body there, eventually that dead body's gonna stop giving shit off, and that river's flowing fast. Like, all that shit's gonna be gone eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So it stands to reason, it may even be that whole river. I like the idea that maybe we're just seeing one occurrence of this in one place. That whole river is probably starting to drop people left and right.
Nightmare.
Because that's the only way it could really be in the cabin water. Mm-hmm. Unless she didn't get it from the cabin water. She could have gotten it from the blood.
Right.
He kind of dead ends you a few ways.
And she's smaller,
yeah, the first girl.
So she gets it faster than Bert.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because we think it's the water. We kind of see that it's the water, but it could still just be the blood.
Mm. Blood from which where? From what?
Just from the hermit. Because, I mean, even when he's just, like, out sneezing and coughing and spitting blood all over the truck, like, she's weak, she's frail. Like, she could have just gotten it first.
Are you saying that because she's pale?
No.
And short?
I mean, I'm kind of, yeah. If a disease was going to go for a person, I'd pick her first. Like,
I go first. I've got asthma.
Right, I'm not going to go for Bert. He's going to take a minute, as seen in the movie.
Yeah.
Bert does. Bert lasts. Good on that guy. He tries so damn hard.
Bert was a nice balance where, like, the lawyer dude with the weird, like, you know, my daddy pays my bills hair. Like, he was just an ass. Whereas Bert, like, was smart for the most. I mean, he wasn't conventionally smart, but like, when it came to, like, handling shit.
Right, when he was like, we cannot let the hermit in.
He was smart. Smart. But he still, like, tried to help out his friends and cared about him sort of thing. Because at first I thought they were going where he was going to hide that he had it and, like, ooh, infect everyone. But he really was just like, we just got to get out of here. We can't deal with it if I have it, too. We just... At this point, we just have to go get her to the doctor. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is a fucking movie.
Still have no idea where this movie actually takes place.
Oh.
I think there
is a mention of Cook County.
And it says Murray. And Murray is a big town in Kentucky.
So, in theory,
could be outside
what,
Murray,
like,
Kentucky?
Appalachians?
Some backwoods in Kentucky that get a little
funny. Yeah, I've been there on the family vacation.
Are we
going to
talk about the kung fu fighting scene?
Oh my god, we have not talked about
young Dennis.
We just need to talk about Dennis in general. Dennis right, discussion so, and go.
Pancakes. Let me just describe this character to you. Imagine,
pancakes.
Imagine Super Saiyan with a bowl cut and a mullet.
Amish bowl cut.
But it's Krillin. So, like, that size. Like, the shortest, strongest man in the world as a Super Saiyan with a bowl cut and a mullet. Oh, and bib overalls.
And bib overalls.
Don't let me forget the bib overalls.
And his dad has a gorgeous red trucker hat.
So, the first instance we see of Dennis is swinging on a porch. He's kind of just... relaxing, whatever, and one of the members sits down next to him and ends up getting a bite. I don't know what the significance of Dennis is. Dennis is just a very weird character being thrown into the bunch.
He never even goes anywhere.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't even go here.
Yeah.
It's rather weird.
Yeah. And then they're like, you should have a sign. And they really put a sign
up
later.
Yeah, law student goes to swing his dick around for a little bit and threatens a lawsuit, but the best part is by far the kung fu fighting.
Yeah, he just starts yelling at Bert, pancakes!
No pancakes!
Pancakes!
No pancakes!
And then he gets up and he goes, pancakes! And then he just starts, like Sam said, flipping around.
He does, like,
just
full Bruce Lee moves.
Just to bite Bert's thumb.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't roundhouse kick him to the face.
Yeah,
he doesn't, like, collapse his throat or break his rib. Just bites him.
It would have been dope if he had done, like, a MacGruber throat rip, though.
It would have been amazing. And, like, it's been a long time since I was in martial arts, but I don't think I was ever taught to just go bite my opponent's thumb.
No.
I know there's belts above black, but I did make it to my black belt, and I never once learned the bite the thumb off move, so I feel cheated.
You go for the kick in the balls move. Or sometime.
Also, who has the idea to bite somebody that is clearly ill? Like, obvious.
I think we should. There's something wrong with Dennis.
Right.
Okay. That sounds like a horror film. There's something wrong with Dennis.
I mean, he is a
we
super
have to
fan.
Talk about Kevin.
Yep.
Yeah, there's something wrong with Dennis. Like, yeah.
They also imply that it's not just, oh, he's a troubled child, maybe autistic or on the spectrum or something. Because he bites the blood. Clearly, he bites people. That's just
he's
what
a
this
biter.
Is. Like, he's tasted a lot of blood.
Do not sit by Dennis.
And then he bites Bert, and he, like, you see him realize that his blood is tainted, and it's like, what was that?
Yeah, why?
Does he have superpowers?
Yeah.
Like...
he has an epitome while he's biting into his hand.
And we don't even see him die or not. We just
I have a small thought on that, because I actually thought about that during the movie. This kid bites a lot of people, but probably not often enough to draw blood just to hurt them. This guy's skin's probably getting real soft. That's why all his blood's, like, starting to just fall out of him. He probably was able to bite through him super easy.
And he was
really
surprised
he
bit through
right.
him.
Right, I think he was surprised he bit through him because his skin and everything was so soft and mushy.
Oh,
yeah.
That makes sense.
Yes.
Ew. L.
Yes, very ew. Because I think that's why the kid was surprised. I would be surprised.
Like, whoa,
it
this
still
is a
doesn't
mushy hand.
Explain his martial arts skills.
Yeah, yeah.
In backwoods Kentucky, just that, like there's a dojo up the road. Like,
I'm assuming it's not a very ethnically diverse population.
No. No, it's the same. It's Grimm that teaches it.
Mm-hmm.
Eli Roth's character.
It definitely is. He looks like a dojo. It's
yeah, he's
learned
like,
a bunch of martial
dojo.
Arts out of Berkeley. Sitting around a positive bonfire.
Positive
bonfire.
Definitely going to use that this fall. Definitely. That is what I should name my Halloween party. A positive bonfire.
You just go walking around town, specifically looking for fires. You see a fire that looks like above average.
Yeah.
You just kind of walk up. Hey, strangers. Positive bonfire.
I'm going to make myself a big soul patch to wear on my chin, too.
Yes.
It's like stupid, too. It's like a double-sided tape. And like,
it's
and
like
you
peeling
take
up
your
at the
hair
sense.
And you just like clip it off and you stick it on one side of the double-sided tape and then stick it right there.
Okay, so when my hair was really long, I used to part it in the middle and bring it around.
Yes, I did that shit.
In a ponytail awesome. At my chin and be like, I'm Amish.
Mine's getting there. Mine's getting longer.
We are getting there.
So we're all going to grow our hair out so we can do that.
I'm going to straighten your hair. So
not a part of this really. Podcast anymore.
I can't let the fro flow. It's a negative. I get mushroom head.
It's too much.
Negative, bro. Negative on the fro, bro.
Tyler gets the mushroom hair,
it's a negative
too.
Ghost Rider.
Well, I don't really have anything more to say about this movie. Does anyone else have anything they want to say?
Nope. This is one of the weirdest rewatches of my life.
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, and I'm glad I did it. Like, it's definitely worth it, especially for you to watch it for the first time and everything. But, like, man, I don't know if I've ever rewatched a movie and been so immediately like, I don't know if I'm ever going to watch this again.
Yeah, I'm definitely glad I didn't go out and buy
it
again like I was planning on it. Because I used to have a hard copy of it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go get this movie again. And that way I'll be able to watch it whenever. Yeah, I don't really want to watch it whenever.
Right. I'll have to check the remake out. Because aside from a lot of that stuff,
I think they can clean it up.
What year is the remake?
2016.
From?
Oh,
shit. Oh,
yeah.
So
that should be significantly better then.
Well, because I almost texted you the other night, like, because I was making the ad, like, which year were you wanting to watch? Because I didn't want to, like, advertise that we were going to discuss one, but it's the other. And then I was like, whatever, I'll just ask when we record, because this is 2 weeks in advance. Although, when you listen to it, it will have been 2 weeks in the past.
Welcome to the future.
Welcome to the future.
We're from the past. Future.
We are from the past.
Hello, future selves.
Yeah, hello, future selves. We are from the past.
We are from the past. Good evening.
I have nothing new to
tell
you.
Be excellent to each
other. I'm still disappointed in you, Macy.
The time is 9:55 p.m.
Are you sure?
Daylight savings time.
Like, that's a time zone. What time zone are you in, daylight savings?
DST.
So, we usually do any recommendations on music, podcasts, books, movies, or shows. Do you have anything that you think someone should be listening to, reading, or watching?
Listening to. For podcasts?
This podcast? No, just anything. Anything. Music.
Music.
Podcasts. Anything that you're like, I like this and want other people to like it too. Or you can pass. You have to give me the talking stick.
I'm going to pass.
Keith,
I know I'm a little late to the game. I just finished the Battlefront 2 campaign.
Video game.
Okay.
All right.
Heart-wrenching. heart-wrenching.
Oh, we're going there.
Yeah, well worth a playthrough, though.
You can recommend a snack that you discovered this week. I mean,
Keith can also attest. I shouted out Blind Spotting. Keith, would you say you enjoyed Blind Spotting a lot more than you probably thought you would too?
Definitely. Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Blind Spotting. David Diggs.
Yeah.
It's the love of our life.
Yeah.
Although, not to poop on your guys' David Diggs parade. When we started this podcast, it was Dan Stevens, and then it became Robert Sheehan, and now we're at David Diggs, so who's next?
I don't know, David's gonna be tough to dethrone.
You can love them all, and that is okay.
Because also the power coupling of him and Emmy is, like, even better than just him.
Ooh, Umbrella Academy.
Oh, yeah, Umbrella Academy. You started season two yet?
Yes, I have. I'm like... maybe 2-3 episodes.
We'll keep it. Umbrella Academy. We
definitely recommend that for sure. But if you're gonna, just don't jump into the second season. Watch it again. Even if you watched the first season a year ago, I saw a lot of stuff I didn't remember.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Plus, it's just so good.
Amazing stuff.
Like
so good.
So worth a rewatch anyway.
Yeah, because of Robert Sheehan. Because of everyone.
But mostly Robert Sheehan and Hazel.
But those are my thoughts.
Oh, Hazel.
I'm like 3/4 of the way done with Sopranos, too. I don't know Sopranos is amazing. I don't know why it took me so long to get into it, because I love mobs. You know, mob stuff, but...
Yeah, I watched Boardwalk Empire instead. That was a good one. But I really need to get into Sopranos. Because that's more like actual mafia. Boardwalk Empire is more like highbrow... New York Mafia.
Like when Abby and Alana go to the...
My favorite little Jew is the side of St. Louis.
Front City.
Fantastic show.
I think my recommendation is Happy Death Day.
Oh, yeah. I missed this one.
I didn't watch it when it came out. Well, there's a sequel, so several years ago.
I feel like an idiot now. I think it's only like 2 or 3 years old, but still, like, it's old enough that I'm like, I wanted to see this when it came out because I heard a lot of good things and it looked really interesting, and I totally forgot that it was Blumhouse. And then when I realized that, and you were like, we should watch Happy Death Day, that was one of the best days ever.
It was so good. It's just what we needed.
I agree.
It's funny. It is so fun and funny, and I just love it. I love it. But yeah, those are all my recommendations, I think.
Alrighty. That's all, folks. Bye.
Deuces.
Later.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing that why do we do that?
Well, honestly, to me, it happened completely by accident.
I mean, cross country does weird things when you're on a bus full of like half and half men and women. But like, why? Sure. Icy hot on our testicles. That's what we were discussing.
That's so
oh my
weird.
God! Everyone did that. So as a woman though, I actually did it. Almost worse one. I did it all over my butt cheeks in the middle of the school day.
See, I would almost rather enjoy that. That would help probably after running.
Yeah, I was gonna say actually that would have felt like I was not running. A runner.
I thought you guys
so
meant like for fun,
awful.
And I'm like.
It's
always an accident.
Yeah, but it definitely doesn't do. It's not like a positive benefit to your running. It's not like you put Icy Hot on your balls and you run like 4 minutes.
I mean, you may run faster trying to get away from how that feels.
No, because then you like. Knowing my luck, you'd start to sweat, and then it would just like start to run all over the inside your legs, and then. That would become an awful
experience. I got that, though. We were all obsessed with that. And, like, cause for me, too, I think that was, like, 7th grade or something. Like, all the boys were doing it. So then I was like, well, I don't want to do that, but I'll put it on my
butt.
Yeah,
that's internal at that point.
And then it was kind of worse because then it was like, it's all muscle.
It's just
and I was just sitting in Medina Christian Academy like, ooh.
Got him.
Okay, this is why we can cut and edit.